Pirkei Avos, we have many lists. And one of the lists that we find, the source number one, is a list of miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. 10 miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Very amazing things, miraculous things. And I wanna try to focus on two of those miracles and to try to understand why they're particularly relevant to us. Okay, let's just look at the list to start, if you take a look at source number one. Okay, by the way, at the top of the page you have two quotes. You have a quote from the Piazetz Rebbe. Rav Kolonimus Kalman Shapiro, Zechusi Again Aleinu, Hashem should avenge his blood, where he describes how a Jew needs to swim upstream. And the second quote is from Shabtai Zisel Ben Avraham, better known as Bob Dylan. Maybe you'll recognize the quote for those who know a little bit of classic rock. Okay, who says more or less the same yisod, that if you want to survive in this world, you need to know how to swim upstream. So tonight we're going to talk about swimming upstream a little bit, and how a Jew is able to push back against the world, that sometimes it's pushing us in the opposite direction. But we'll start with the Mishnah. We'll start with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we're going to learn this Shabbos. It says in source number one, Asara Nisim Nasu Lavoseinu Beis HaMikdash. 10 miracles, took place for our Avos, for our forefathers in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we're not going to go through all of them right now. Come on in, don't be shy. I have my Makomos over here. Okay, but number one, a miracle that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, Elohi Pila Isha Mereach Bisar HaKodesh. A woman did not experience a miscarriage from the smell of the sacrificial meat. Sometimes a pregnant woman smells something and she needs to have it. She has a craving. And it's literally dangerous for the child, for the fetus inside of her, to not satisfy that craving. So Baruch Hashem, we have good news to report. Say Chazal, you should just know that as delicious as some of the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash smelled, a woman never had a miscarriage from the smell of the sacrificial meat. That was a miracle. One of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, a second example. Lo Yisriach Bisar HaKodesh Me'olam. The sacrificial meat in the Beis HaMikdash never spoiled. There was no refrigeration. It was out in the hot sun. There were some precautionary measures the Gemara and Mishnayos describe that they had when they were cutting up, let's say, a carbon tamid, or dissecting the carbon tamid, taking it apart, literally taking it apart. So the table that they used for some of the procedure was made out of marble. So the Gemara says, why not make it out of gold? Beis HaMikdash, make everything the best. Let's make it out of gold. Let's make it out of silver. Why marble? Some people think marble's nicer. I happen to think marble's nicer. But okay, gold was, I guess, more valuable. Why not make it out of gold? So the Gemara says, because it's very hot, and the metal is going to heat up, and it could cause the sacrificial meat to spoil. So one of the miracles, we don't rely on nace, that's why we have cold marble. The marble stone gets cold overnight and stays cool when they're using it in the Beis HaMikdash. But the bottom line is, there was a miracle. What was the miracle? Lo Yisriach Bisar HaKodesh Me'olam. Never once did the sacrificial meat spoil in the hot sun. It was a bloody job. Let's not kid ourselves. It was a messy job in the Beis HaMikdash to be a kohen. And yet, everything stayed fresh. Okay, a miracle. Let's jump down to number six. We don't have time to go through all of them. We're going to focus on number two and six tonight. Number six, Velo Natzcha HaRuach Es Amud HaAshan. Velo Natzcha HaRuach Es Amud HaAshan. The smoke as it was rising up on the Mizbeach was never overcome, was never conquered by the wind. As the smoke was rising up from the carbon, it went straight up to Avinu Shva Shemayim and it never deviated. As a nice breeze blew through the Beis HaMikdash, never once did it cause a carbon to veer off course. Okay, and the list goes on. 10 miracles, wonderful things that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So I'll ask you a very simple question. Why do we learn Pirkei Avos? Make it a better question. Why do we learn Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos? Why don't we learn Mishnayos, I don't know, Kalim, or Ohalos, or Bav Metzia? Right? Metakin Armidos. Tamid Rabbi Akiva, Sfiras HaOmer, Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, preparing for Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, we learn Pirkei Avos to learn ethical principles that a Jew lives by. So don't get me wrong, this is a beautiful list. It's worth studying. But how is this Pirkei Avos? How is this relevant to Tikkun Amidos? How does this teach me how to be a better Jew? How does this teach me in Avodas Hashem? It's a wondrous historical fact. It's very kedai to know. There's a lot of things that we study that are kedai for a Jew to know. And they're not always so applicable in the simplest sense to our life. Okay, and we still learn it. Torah Lishma, we learn it because it's the will of God. We want to understand how God thinks. But Pirkei Avos is about understanding how a Jew lives. So why on earth would Chazal tell us this list in Pirkei Avos. It's just thrown in because there's other lists that happen to actually do with midos. So once we're doing lists, you know, we'll just do lists. It's like Dave Letterman's top 10. You know, we need to do lists. Lahavdil, what's with the lists? We don't need lists. What's it doing here? How is it relevant to our lives? So the first thing I want to point out is that the Beis HaMikdash, this image that we have of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, a building, a place where God is found, is an idea that a little bit is obviously very beautiful to dream for and to hope for and to reminisce about, but a little bit we have to get over it. Get over the Beis HaMikdash? What does that mean? Yeah. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to build the Beis HaMikdash, He didn't say, I want a building in Yerushalayim. The Rambam says is the source for building a Beis HaMikdash. But if you listen in on the words, Hashem says, build me a Mikdash, make me a Beis HaMikdash, make me a place, a dwelling place for the divine. And where is that? V'shachanti b'socham. As the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh explains, B'Shem Chazal, we don't have a Medrash or a Gemara like this, but v'shachanti b'socham, I want to dwell within each and every one of you. I want you, your body should be a Beis HaMikdash. Your house should be a Beis HaMikdash. Your shul should be a Beis HaMikdash. Don't corner me off into the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Let's learn the magnificent words of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the student of the Vilna Gaon, and his Nefesh HaChaim. In source number 2. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Make me a dwelling place, a divine dwelling place, so that I could dwell literally within them, or you, within the Klal Yisrael. Kechola sherani mar'eh uscha, whatever I'm going to display before you, the dimensions, eis tavnis ha-mishkan, I'm going to draw you a blueprint, I'm going to present you a blueprint of the mishkan, the building, ves tavnis kol kelav, and what each of the utensils of the building are going to look like. V'chein ta'asu, and so you shall do. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin Tazayin Amud Beis, Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes it here in the first section of the Nefesh HaChaim, v'chein ta'asu, so you shall do, lidoros, for all generations. So my friends, should we go storm the Temple Mount and build the Beis HaMikdash? V'chein ta'asu, lidorot, for all generations. Let's get moving. V'chein ta'asu, lidoros. So says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, obviously, there's a time and a place to build the physical structure called the Beis HaMikdash. It's been over 1,900 years since we had such a physical structure. But every second of every day of our lives, a Jew is working on this V'chein ta'asu l'doros. The original plan for the Beis HaMikdash, we're working on it every second of every day. What is that original plan? Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, where it's bolted. Al tachshivu, don't mistakenly think. She'tachlis kavanasi hu asiyas ha'mikdash ha'chitzoni. It's Hashem speaking. Don't think that what I meant by build me a mikdash is I want a external, superficial structure, a building in Yerushalayim. That's not it. Elateidu shekol tachlis ritzoni b'tavnis hamishkan v'chol kelev. You know why I spelled out all of these things? You know why I spelled this out for you? Your brain is the kodesh, is the heichal. Your heart is the kodesh kadashim. Every part of your body is another kli in the Beis HaMikdash. I want you to know shekol tachlis ritzoni b'tavnis hamishkan v'chol kelev rak l'rameiz lachem. I'm hinting to you, says Hashem, shemimenu tiru v'chein tasu atem es atzmeichem. Turn yourself into a Beis HaMikdash. So when we read a Mishnah Pirkei Avos about the Beis HaMikdash, don't think about miracles in a Beis HaMikdash that once stood in Yerushalayim 2,000 years ago, or that we hope to once again see that soon, or that we just want to know historical facts about the past and reflect on the wonders of Hashem, so we can daven better that God does miracles, and it's good to know that. When we read about the wonders of the Beis HaMikdash, we have to ask ourselves, how do I apply that to my Mikdash Ma'at? To the original plan for the Beis HaMikdash, which is you, which is each and every one of us. And if Chaim Volozhiner writes so powerfully where it's underlined, take a look at these words. We need to believe, Kulam kedoshim ru'uyim umuchanim lahashros shchinasi besochacham mamish. Every single Jew needs to believe. Every one of us needs to believe that we are holy enough, that we are worthy enough, that we are prepared enough, that the Shechina wants to dwell inside of us, mamish. And that's the chein tasu l'doros. Each and every one of us, every day of our lives, our body is that place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended in the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Naso. The Dira B'tachtonim, I want to dwell in the lower realms. Not just a magnificent building in Yerushalayim. But Hashem says, I want to dwell inside of you. We have to think about that. And that transforms the way you read a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that talks about Abeis HaMikdash. It's talking about us. It's talking about us in our Avodas Hashem. The Gemara in Tana says, your body should be a place of Kedusha. A place where we believe that Kedusha is found. And that helps us make good decisions in life. When I'm deciding how to speak, if I remind myself that there's kadosh, there's holiness inside of me, I speak differently. Deciding what to say and what to do and what to think and where to go, when I remind myself that Hashem travels with me, when I decide how to get dressed in the morning, is this an appropriate garment for a Jew to wear, I think differently when I remind myself that I have a neshama and that Hashem is a part of me. Amar Rabbi Elazar in source number 3, the Gemara in Tanis Yud Aleph, le'olam, every day, every second of every day, yimod adam atzmo ki'ilu kadosh shari besoch me'av. A Jew needs to feel that I have kedusha in my kishkas, in my innards. And if I don't believe that, it's going to be hard to make good choices. When I believe that I am a miniature Beis HaMikdash, and my home is a miniature Beis HaMikdash, I run my home differently. I run my life differently. I allow different things to happen to my body and with my body, and thoughts to enter my mind and actions to be performed by my limbs. I become a different human being. Let's learn another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos to bring out this idea. Shimon ben Shetach in the first parak of Avos taught us, again, we'll ask the same question. Have a marbe lachor es ha'edim. Shimon ben Shetach, who was a dayan, who sat on a basin, who had a shaychus to what he's saying, it makes sense what he's saying, be careful to investigate the witnesses very well. Interrogate the witnesses well, lest they come to tell you an untruth. Check out the witnesses very well. So again, I say, Shimon ben Shetach, Kvod HaRav, that's a beautiful teaching. And every Beis Din should study it well. What does that have to do with me? I'm not a dayan on a Beis Din. I'm not investigating witnesses. I'm not a detective. What does it mean? Have a marba lachor seidim. Check out the witnesses very well. The Lubavitcher Rebbe on a Motzei Shabbos 1979, Parsha Shmini. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, Pirkei Avos has to operate with two principles. Number one, that it's instructing us how to live a pious life. And number two, that we read it between Pesach and Shavuos because it's preparing us for Kabbalah Satorah. So I ask you, my dear Rebbe, Rishon Ben Shetach, tell me, how does this instruct me to be a more pious individual? Check out the witnesses. How does this prepare me, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, and all my friends who are here learning Torah with me, how does this help us get ready for Kabbalah Satorah? If I was a dayan on a Beis Din, or as the Baal HaTani even explained, if I was the head of a very exclusive Beis Din, I was presiding over the Beis Din, this is my achrayus. I get it. It's my responsibility. How is it relevant to me? What witnesses? Where? Who witnesses? What witnesses? What's Shimon ben Shetach saying to me, to us, to each and every one of us? How does this make us better Jews? We have to ask that question when we're learning Pirkei Avos. Nothing can just get, you know, swept along. And we get excited about those famous, you know, aphorisms that resonate with us. The ones that we had on our, you know, first grade, whatever, classroom wall. Oh, I mean, anili mili. Okay, that's Pirkei Avos. What about this? Shimon ben Shetach, what does it mean? Explained the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1979. We'll read where it's bolded in source number 5. The Talmud explains, obviously this is a free English translation from the Sichos in English. The Talmud explains, the Gemara explains, that the testimony of witnesses can apply to all of our personal lives as well. It states, it's a Gemara in Tanis, the walls of one's house testify about him. Check out the witnesses. Check out the witnesses. The famous story of Esau Salanter was traveling with someone, and the fellow got a little hungry on the way, and he saw a field, there were some apples growing, let's say. So the fellow says, he stops the wagon, he says to Esau Salanter, I'm going to go get us something to eat. If you see anyone, let me know. I'll run. Okay, so the fellow gets off, he goes, he's ready, about to pluck an apple off the tree. Esau Salanter starts screaming, someone's watching. The fellow comes flying back to the wagon, he jumps on, smacks the horses, he's down the road. Who was it? Esau Salanter pointed up. Hashem saw. Hashem was watching. Who are you kidding? So a person does an aveira in privacy of my own home. It's my own space. Hashem, stay out of my bedroom. Stay out of my private area. This is my house. So Hashem says, you come after 120, you're standing before Hashem. And Hashem says, I had rachmanis on you. I looked away. You were sitting at your dinner table, you were speaking a little Lashon Hara. Hashem says, I didn't listen. Okay, good. Ah, I'm in the clear. Hashem says, whoa, but someone saw. Who saw? Hashem calls to the walls of your home to testify against you. The walls of one's house testify about him. The walls saw the sins. They saw the avers. By looking, said the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's not just the walls. It's what's on the walls. What type of pictures are hanging on my walls. What type of books are lining the shelves. Yeah? How many wall-to-wall, you know, TVs do I have in my home? By looking at the books on the shelves, the pictures on the walls, and the absence or presence of mezuzahs, we can get some idea of who we're talking to. Have a marba lachor sa'idim. Make sure you check the things that you're bringing into your house. They're all going to testify against you. Every kli, kelim mikelim shonim, everything we bring into our house is going to be called to testify. So make sure you prepare yourself and plan accordingly that you have, your walls are surrounded by holy things. I said to a kid in elementary school this week, I said, do you have any pictures in your bedroom? So he got all excited, you know, his favorite basketball player hanging over his bed. So I said to him, you know, if you had the Chavetz Chaim hanging over your bed, that'd be really good. You know why? Because at the end of your life, you're a young kid, I know it's hard to imagine the end of your life, but at the end of your life, when Hashem is making an assessment of your life, if you had the Chavetz Chaim on your wall, or if Nosson Tzvi Finkel, or whatever other tzaddik you like, so that's going to be your Eidim. He's going to come, he's going to test. The Chavetz Chaim will for sure be able to get you off the hook. Chavetz Chaim will explain to Hashem why you lived in a very difficult time, and all your mistakes are understandable. But if LeBron James is on your wall, and Hashem says, LeBron, tell me, like, give me an assessment of this guy as Avodas Hashem. That's your lawyer. That's who you want defending you. Right? And the kid heard it. He understood it. It resonated with him. So we have to understand anything we read in Pirkei Avos is speaking to us, is relevant to us. So I want to focus on two of the miracles of the Beis Hamikdash, of the Beis Hamikdash, and try to understand how is it relevant to us. Two of the 10 miracles, a lot to think about here. You'll go home and you'll work on the rest. Mm-hmm. Two of the 10 miracles that took place in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay? Number two on our top 10 list was, again, Lo Hisriach Bisar HaKodesh Me'olam. Sacrificial meat never spoiled. What does it have to do with me? How does it get me ready for Shavuos? How does it make me a more refined human being? That's what Pirkei Avos is about. Explain to Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. There's a world out there that's trying to pull us down. Now, I'm not suggesting that there's a malicious plot against the Jewish people or against our neshama, but the reality is there's a lot of things out there that could very easily cause us to be ruined, cause us to lose our way in this world. Says Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk in Parshas Shlach, in source number 6, he says, I heard from my Rebbe, the Maggid of Mezrich, Rav Dov Ber of Mezrich, Zuchusi again Alinu. What does it mean, Lo Hisriach Basar Kodesh Me'olam? He writes in the second line in the middle, Perish. Now, listen to how he says it. We're gonna use a little poetic license to explain it our own way, a little bit. But I think Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk would agree, if I can say such a chutzpahdik thing. Perish mishuhu besar kodesh. What does it mean, basar kodesh? Sacrificial meat in the Beis Hamikdash? You are sacrificial meat. You are holy. You are holy flesh. You are basar kodesh. You don't just have a neshama. Your body is also holy. Chassam Sofer one time saw someone who was standing over his son, was leaning, they were chavrusas, they were looking at a sefer together, and he was leaning on the Chassam Sofer's son. His friend, the Chassam Sofer's son's friend, was leaning on one of the children of the Chassam Sofer. He was standing behind there looking at a sefer together, he was leaning on him. So he says, you shouldn't lean on my son like that. It's mi'ila. It's a misappropriation of sacred things. It's a misuse of something from the Beis Hamikdash, basically, is what he was saying. And he's saying, it's not because he's my son, it's because he's a Jew. And a Jew is holy flesh. The body of a Jew is holy flesh. And needs to be treated accordingly. It's not so easily misused or abused. You have to understand, this is holy flesh. And therefore says the Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, in the name of the Maggid of Mezrich, a person who is Basar Kodesh, he says, Shehu Tzadik Gamor, meaning, not. Let's be honest, some of us, our Basar is not as holy as it needs to be. Right, so it hasn't maintained its Kedusha. But the Tzaddik Gamor, the Tzaddik who maintains his body, not just his soul, but his body is always used for holy things. Eino Masriach Me'olam. Not that Me'olam forever, ever in history. Right? Again, the Pashup Shot is that the sacrificial meat never spoiled. Me'olam. It never, Me'olam, forever. It never happened. But the way that these Tzaddikim are learning it is, no. The Basar Kodesh, the holy flesh of a Jew, was never damaged, mei olam, from the world. Don't allow the world to drag you down. Don't allow the world to damage your holy flesh. Now again, the holy Maggid of Mezrich is saying this is for the tzaddik. The tzaddik gamor, who is mamish basar kodesh, he can go to the world and survive. Look at the words, af kishahu ma'urav imam, when he encounters the world, umidabra imam, when he speaks to the world, he can go, he can engage the world and not get messed up by the world. Because he's a tzaddik gamur. But I'll say in a way that makes it, we're not tzaddikim gamurim necessarily. I hope no one's offended. If you take offense, you can speak to me afterwards. I apologize. Right? V'ameich chulam tzaddikim, the Navi says. Every Jew is a tzaddik. Every Jewish man and woman has to believe that our bodies are holy. And even if we've misused them at times, we have to believe that what? It's still Basar Kodesh. It's still Basar Kodesh. And we have to try to do whatever we can. Sometimes it seems a shtickle miraculous. These are miracles, let's not forget. This is a list of 10 miraculous things that happen. To be able to not be too ruined by the world is a miracle. There are people, unfortunately, who are terribly ruined by the world and totally lose themselves in the world. But we have to believe that it's possible with our efforts, because again, they had a shulchan shayish. They used a marble table to try to prevent spoilage. But we have to believe that it's possible for us to be tzaddikim, to be holy people, to protect ourselves, and to be able to not be damaged by the world. That is a very relevant lesson for a Jew who, again, wants to refine himself or herself and wants to prepare for Shavuos. I have to believe that I'm holy flesh, that I'm not regular flesh. I'm not just a regular human being. I might look superficially exactly like the person who lives next door, but there's something categorically different about the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me and the way that Hashem wants me to use my body and to use my life. And that's something we have to think about every single day of our life, that the world shouldn't drag us down. Lo hisriach basar kodesh mei olam. Don't let the olam, don't let the world harm you. Don't let the world take away from who you're meant to be and who HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes that you can be. What was the sixth example on our list? A similar theme. Said the Mishnah, we'll read where it's bolded in between sources 6 and 7. V'lo notzcha haruach es amud ha'asham. What does it mean? That when the Beis HaMikdash, when the Mizbeach, when karbanos were being offered, and the smoke was rising up, as a carbon being offered to Hashem, the smoke always rose straight up to Hashem, and the wind never conquered, the ruach never conquered that stack of smoke. The carbon always burnt straight up to the Libon Shel Shemayim, straight up to the heavens. The Jewish people are called Yisrael. The Svarim explain Yisrael, Yashar Kel. I go straight to Hashem. I don't deviate. So what does it mean for us? Again, it's very nice, historical fact. In the Beis HaMikdash, a wondrous thing. The smoke, even on the windiest days, the smoke rose straight up to Shemayim. It's very beautiful. What does it mean for us? It explains Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Sefer Shvi Ve'or, a collection of teachings from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was one of the Gedolim in Yerushalayim of the previous generation. He passed away in 1960. And he writes here in the third line, in source number 7, Dor Shei Rishumos Ramzu Al Zeh Mashakosuva Pirkei Avos. One of the wonders of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, we are the Beis HaMikdash. One of the wonders, one of the things that's possible, it's a little bit miraculous to pull it off, but it's doable. That's why we're learning about it. One of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash is that what? Is that the Amud HaAshon, we're going to explain more deeply what that means, is able to rise straight up and not be swayed, not to veer from the course because of a strong wind. Afsha Ashan hu chalash ma'od, even though superficially, that smoke rising up is very weak. Ve'ein bo mamish, it doesn't have much strength at all. And sometimes the ilu haruach hu chazaka shebekocha l'shaber slam u'lefarei karim. Wind, a tornado, can literally shatter rocks, it can uproot mountains. So you would think there's some strong winds in the world that should be able to what? Should be able to overpower. Should be able to override the ashan, the carbon. A Jew's trying to be karov to Hashem. There's a lot of winds. There's winds in the world that should cause us to veer off course. But one of the miracles and what we need to believe as Jews is that what? Is that that power of Kedusha, of a Jew wanting to be close to Hashem, Yashar Kel, Yisrael, straight to Hashem. Koach HaKedusha, Dochas Koach HaGashmi, Mezgaber Alav. That through Kedusha, by clinging, by being Basar Kodesh, by recognizing the value of our Avodah, it's possible to not get knocked off course by the world. All the winds and the whims of the world, all the changing spirit of the world, that's what means the ruach. And sometimes it's very loud, it's very vocal. You see someone who, you know, speaks very harshly, you meet this nice tmimistic little ventura, Talmud Chacham, some guy learning in Kolel, and someone comes over and starts challenging the way that he thinks. That little tmimistic Kolel guy has to have the courage to say, I have the Torah, I don't care what you're going to throw at me. New ideas to uproot the Torah, no such thing. You could be loud, you could be stronger than me. I could be a scrawny little kolo guy. And you could be an international weightlifter. Right? But I'm stronger than you. My ashan is stronger than your ruach. We have to believe that. We have to be confident about that. I'm proud. We have to be proud Jews. I had a doctor's appointment this week. And I was speaking to the the African-American nurse was just asking me some questions about my medical history. And she says to me, any tattoos? So I looked at her, I said, it's against the Old Testament. Any tattoos? It's against the Old Testament. Now, the reason I said it's against the Old Testament, I could tell she was a religious woman. She was wearing a plus sign on her neck, so I knew that she was a religious person. Unless she's into mathematics, I don't know. She was wearing a plus sign on her neck. It's a little bit off, it's a little long, the leg was a little long, but I figured she was a religious person, so she would appreciate that. But afterwards, I was very upset at myself. I was upset the way that I responded. I thought I'd make a Kiddush Hashem by saying, I'm a religious man. How could I have a tattoo? God says you can't have tattoos. Why was I upset at myself? I was upset at myself that I referred to the Torah as the Old Testament. Because it's mashma against the ninth principle of faith, right? That the Torah, lo tei mochlefes, is not going to be, there is no, now again, it's understandable. I was speaking on her terms, right? But I regretted that I didn't say the Bible, or I didn't even have the courage to say the Torah. Many people have heard of the Torah. She says the Torah, she says the Bible, the Torah, right? But I played into it. A little bit I swayed. A little bit the Ashon veered off course. Right? And again, on some level, I think probably I made a Kiddush Hashem. I don't think she picked up on what I'm sharing with you now, that I was being merames to the fact, wink, wink, that I hold of the New Testament. I don't hold of the New Testament. I'll go on record. I don't hold of the New Testament. Right? I should have said Bible. I should have had the confidence to say that there's only one Torah. And if there's two Torahs, it's Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not the New Testament. Right? So a Jew has to have the confidence to believe what we believe. To not allow that Oshon, that fiery steam or smoke rising up from the Mizbeach straight to Hashem to be knocked off course. Now let's try to understand a little deeper. That's what the Mishnah says. Let's try to understand. Let's see Pesach Frank, a beautiful explanation. Let's try to understand a little bit deeper and get ourselves really ready for Shuas. There's a concept in the Sefer Yetzirah, which is one of the earliest works, if not the earliest work of Kabbalah. And in the Sefer Yetzirah, it describes how everything in the world operates in three parallel dimensions. They're referred to as Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Okay? Sounds very esoteric. Let's make it very simple. We're not here to learn Jewish mysticism tonight. We're here to learn practical Jewish living. What is Olam, Shana, Nefesh? Olam means a place in the world, a makom, Olam, somewhere in the world. Shana, calendar, the year, time. And Nefesh means person. So for every place, there's a corresponding time and a corresponding person. The example we always like to give, brought by the Arvei Nachal. The Arvei Nachal says, we're called Chassidus. The Arvei Nachal says, a good example to help us understand the concept of Olam Shana Nefesh, is that you have the holiest person, the Kohen Gadol. Every Jew is the holiest person, but for this mashal, the Kohen Gadol is the holiest person, in the holiest place, the Kodesh Kedashim, at the holiest time, Yom Kippur. And that's how it always is. Every one of us has our soul has a corresponding place in the world and has a corresponding time. Why are some Jews more into Purim and some Jews more into Hanukkah? Why are some Jews more into Rosh Hashanah and some Jews more into Pesach? Because your soul is rooted in a particular time. Why do you feel deeply attached to Hebron even more than you're inspired by the Kotel? So every place has a corresponding person and a corresponding time. Okay, that's the concept of Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. And in source number 8 in the Priya Aretz, Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk spells it out for us along those terms in Parshas Matos and Maaseh. Okay. If you look by Kabbalah's HaTorah, in source number 9, we have two psukim. One in Shemos Perek Yutes, one in Shemos Perek Chaf, where it describes the smoke, not of the Mizbeach, like we were just learning, the smoke of Har Sinai. The Torah makes a big deal out of the smoke of Har Sinai. For example, in Perek Yutes, it says in source number 9, V'har Sinai Ashan Kulam. The whole mountain was Ashan. The whole mountain was smoking. Okay. Why? V'pnei Asher Yared Alav Hashem Ba'ish. Because God descended, and God is, so to speak, a holy fire. Not literal, but whatever that means. So the mountain was smoking. And the Ashan was rising up, Ke'ashan Akivshan, and the mountain was shaking. Next pasuk, a pasuk in Parachaf. V'chol ha'am ro'am v'sakolos v'salapidim. We saw wondrous sights and sounds v'skol ha'shofar v'sahar ashen. But when we saw that the mountain was smoking, v'yar ha'am v'yanu v'yamdu mirachok, the people were shaking, they were trembling. Oh my gosh, the mountain is smoking. What's the big deal? The mountain is smoking. The mountain is Har Sinai Oshan Kulo. The way that the Svar Makadoshim, Sifrei Chassidus, and Kabbalah refer to Olam Shana and Nefesh is by this very word. Har Sinai Ashan. The Svarim talk. Ashan stands for Olam Shana Nefesh. What was Hashem saying to Klal Yisrael Kabbalas HaTorah? What's going to dictate the directional flow of the Ashan, of the Olam, of the Shana, of the Nefesh? What's going to dictate to a person the choices that we make in our life? Who's going to dictate what the calendar looks like? How are places going to be used or abused? Who has bailus over Eretz Yisrael? Who owns the land? Is it the Jewish people or is it our Arab cousins? What dictates how the world operates? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us very loudly and very clearly, although somewhat mysteriously, Hashem says to us at Har Sinai, I just want you to know, Har Sinai, from this place, from Kabbalah HaTorah, the Torah is going to direct Ashan Kula. Every Olam, every part of the Shana, every part of the calendar, every person, our lives need to be guided and directed, not by the Ruach HaZman, not by the way things take place in the world, the changing spirit of the world, not by the changing spirit of the world. I was ready to sue at the doctor's office this week. They didn't ask me if I was a man or a woman. I was ready to sue. They assumed I was a male. Says who? Says who? They're not living with the times. Right? That's what we're holding in the world today. Right? It's crazy. The most basic tenets of science and reality are being questioned and overturned. And that's the Ruach, and people are very loud and vocal about it sometimes. But we, as Jews, we have the confidence and the courage and the clarity to say, no, Har Sinai directs the Ashan. And the Ruach, one of the wonders of the Beis HaMikdash, my miniature Beis HaMikdash, me, I'm not going to be swayed by the spirit of the times, which will change from one day to the next, from one generation to the next. The Gemara in Beitza tells us, why did Hashem give us the Torah? When Hashem was looking for someone to receive the Torah, what was the quality that allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the Torah? Says the Gemara in Beitza, in source number 10, Tana Mishmei Dervi Meir, Mifnei Ma Nitna Torah Li Yisrael. What was it? Why did Hashem choose us? What is it about the Jewish people? The Am Kishei Oref that we are, the stubborn people that we are. Says Rabbi Meir, Mipnei Shehein Ozin, because we're brazen, because we're confident. Sometimes, in a negative sense, Jews are too cocky. But sometimes the Jewish people are very, in the holiest of way, our chutzpah, Azaz to Kedusha, holy chutzpah, to hold our ground, to not be willing to change, call us old-fashioned, call us outdated, say we're people from the past. Someone once came to Rosh Raga Feivel Mendelovich. And they said Rosh Raga Feivel as he was trying to build Torah Vadas. Yeah, early 20th century America. Torah in America. Rosh Raga Feivel, you're not a person, you're not a 20th century man. You're old school. You're not with it. So Rosh Raga Feivel said, you're right. I'm not a 20th century man. I'm a 21st century man. I'm ahead of the curve. Torah is the thing that's going to last. That's the only thing that's going to continue throughout the generations. Right. Whatever you think is the new thing now, it's going to be the laughing stock of the world in 10 years from now, 50 years from now. Every day, it's a different door. The world is changing so fast. I thought of a word on Pesach. B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam lior says atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim. Right? Every generation, a Jew has to see himself or herself leaving Mitzrayim. The Baal Tanya writes in Sefer Tanya, and also in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, b'chol dor v'dor u'v'chol yom v'yom. Not in every generation, but also every day you have to see yourself leaving Mitzrayim. So I asked myself, what, the Baal Tanya has the right? The Baal Tanya has the right to change the words of the Mishnah? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, B'chol dor v'dor. What right does the Baal Tanya have to apply it in every single day? The Baal Tanya understood things. The Baal Tanya understood, he says, I'm not changing the Mishnah. I'm simply pointing out a reality, which was true in his time and infinitely more true in our time, that literally from one day to the next is a different generation. A kid who started high school this year versus a kid who started high school 4 years ago is having a completely different high school experience. The world is changing that fast. Every day is a different door. So are we going to follow the lead of the world? Or are we going to be Jews who cling to that clarity of the Torah? The Gemara goes on and says that Klal Yisrael are Ozin. The reason we got the fiery Torah is because we're people who are stubborn. We're fiery people. We're strong and confident people. The Marsha explains in source number 11, Azus doesn't mean that we're physically the strongest. Far from it. The Jewish people are known not to be the strongest physical people. So what is this Azus that Hashem identified that inspired Hashem to give us His Torah? Explains the Marsha, one of the Gedolei Poland, 1600s. The Marsha writes in source number 11, V'nira nami, Da zuson de ka'amar lav hainu gvura. It's not physical strength. Hashem didn't say, I'm picking the Jewish people because we're the toughest, or we're the roughest. If anyone messes with this Torah, we'll beat them up. That's Esav. Elo lamur al divrayhem v'lo yeshuvu v'mnei kol havi azusam. The courage to stand by our principles. To have the courage to look at people who are trying to drive us away from Torah values, and to have the courage to what? Not to back down. That is our strength. The Gemara says, just like the Jewish people are the strongest of the nations, the dog is the most Oz of the animals. So the Marsha says, the dog is not the strongest animal. Not even close. But the dog, right? A real wild dog, a dog that's trained to fight to the death, will take on an elephant. The elephant's much bigger, much stronger. But the dog can be trained to have an azos, a brazenness, right? A certain courage and a chutzpah to take on animals that are much stronger, many times its size. And so too Klal Yisrael. The smallest of nations, as the Torah says about us, historical reality that Hashem predicted long ago. You'll never be the biggest of nations. You'll never be physically the strongest of nations. But you have a certain oz, a certain confidence, a certain courage, a certain willingness to stick it out through thick and thin, to cling to the principles of Torah. And when you go down, you get back up that much stronger. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. The Jewish people are the tzadikim of the world. Basar kodesh. Basar kodesh. The tzadik, you're not going to damage us. We're not going to be ruined by the world. We'll get knocked down sometimes. That's true. But the sign of success is the person who picks himself back up after we've been knocked down. Rabbi Melech Biederman, big mashpi in Eretz Yisrael, says an interesting thing. How do we indicate success? You're marking a test. You're marking a test. How do you say good job without writing good job? Or giving a number score? On any particular question, how do you mark it as being correct? You make a check. How do you make a check? How do you make a check? You make a line that goes down a little bit and then goes up. That's a sign of success, right? An X is a line that goes down and a line that goes down again. You fell and you fell and you keep falling. And then eventually you say, okay, I'm a failure. Right? And when he told this over to Machanech and Eretz Yisrael, the Machanech said, right, and look at it. The check, it's a small fall and then it's a big ascent. That's how a Jew has to look at life. Of course we're going to get knocked down sometimes. But Klal Yisrael are guaranteed to win. We have to be people who are what? Who are willing to pick ourselves back up and to try a little harder. And to believe that we're going to keep trying, and we're going to keep trying, and we're guaranteed to win. The Jewish people are going to win. The Jewish people are going to win. Tonight is the yahrzeit of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, the author of the Mesilas Yesharim, the Derech Hashem. Tonight, I'm not going to say the number, we're going to count Sfiras HaOmer. It's Yesod should be Yesod. Yesod should be Yesod. It's so interesting that the Ramchal passed away. I heard from a Rav one time. The Ramchal passed away on Yesod. Ramchal's most famous sefer. Ramchal lived a very short life in the 1700s. I think he passed away in 1746. The Ramchal, right, almost predicted that he would die in Yesod. His whole essence was Yesod. How does Mesilas Yesharim begin? What word? Yesod. Yesod ha-chasidus v'shor ha-shavoda. The Ramchal died tonight on Yesod should be Yesod. That's how he begins his magnum opus, Mesilas Yesharim, Yesod. He begins with the word Yesod. Yeah, that's how the Ramchal began. What is Yesod? This whole week we've been working on the Midah of Yesod. Who is Yesod? Of the 7 weeks of Sfira Sa'omer, We're going to daven Ma'ariv in a couple of minutes. You can stick it out if you want. Yesod, what is Yesod? Each of the 7 weeks of Sfira correspond to one of the Ushpizen. Yesod is Yosef HaTzadik. Yesod means foundation. The foundation has to be solid or the building will fall apart. It doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how strong the building is on top. What does the foundation look like? Yosef HaTzadik was a strong person. Yosef HaTzadik was a person we can learn from as a person who held on to his values, who was willing to challenge whatever the norm in the surrounding society was. Whether, by the way, it was his brothers or it was Eishes Potiphar. Yosef Tzadik was a man of principle. Sefer Shemos begins, Yaakov's family is coming to Mitzrayim, 70 souls, V'Yosef Hayo B'Mitzrayim. We know that already, thank you very much. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. We know Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, no, Yosef Hayo B'Mitzrayim. The same little Tzadik who learned by his father, who sat by his father's side, the Gadol Ador, the first 17 years of his life, he's still Yosef of Mitzrayim. He's been tested in many, many ways. He's been thrown in jail. He's had accusations levied against him. Gilei Arayos, many temptations. But at the end of the day, he became Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef Hayev Mitzrayim. So I'll ask you a simple question. Is it really such a chiddush? Let's go in the opposite direction. One day we can be very nispal. Wow, Yosef stayed from Mitzrayim. That was really hard. He went off to Mitzrayim all by himself, and he stayed from. That's very good. The other way to look at it is for us to remind ourselves and to understand the miracle of a Jew who doesn't stray in this world. Again, the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash was that a Jew cannot get ruined by the world. That the smokestack, that the Ashran, that the Olam Shana Nefesh can be directed by Torah and not by the world. It is a miracle. Ask the question like this. What's the Chiddush that Yosef stayed from? It would be a big bizayon after 17 years of full-time learning by the Gadol Hador for Yosef to go off the Derech. This is the question that was asked by Rav Muttal Katz, the founder, one of the founders of Tells in Cleveland, in America. In his Sefer Be'er Mechokik, in source number 12. I know there's a lot more sources. We're almost done. 5 more minutes. In the Be'er Mechokik, he says, hold on, let's learn something else from Yosef. Inyan nosaf roim. She'af eitzel adam gadol ki Yosef. Even someone who had the training of Yosef, a tzaddik. Even someone who spent 17 years receiving the chinuch of the home of Yaakov Avinu. Yosef was a smart person. Yosef learned a lot of Torah. He had a lot of opportunities. A dayan ein zeh poshut le'agil adarga tzaddik. It's not so easy to hold on to one's values. Yes, even Yosef HaTzaddik, the holy Yosef, with all of those years of training, the Torah says, you know what? It is a miracle for Yosef Hayyib in Mitzrayim. That is a big deal that he stayed religious in Mitzrayim. Let's not take that for granted. He fought for it. He deserves a lot of credit. Don't just say, well, yeah, of course he stayed from Mitzrayim. After that kind of education, it would have been a real big bizayon if Yosef wouldn't have had the self-restraint. But what the Torah is saying is, it is a big chiddush. It wasn't so easy. It is really hard. But it's possible. And a Jew who's willing to fight, a Yosef HaTzaddik who's willing to challenge again the norms and to push back, is a Jew who's going to have great success and earn that title of Tzaddik. In the bracha of Yosef, both in Yaakov Avinu's bracha and in Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha and Vizosa bracha, Yosef is referred to as Nazir Echav. Nun, Zayin, Yud, Resh. Those four letters appear in only one other place in the Torah. By then, Nazir. In Parshas Naso. The Nazir. What do we know about the Nazir? When a Nazir gives a declaration of Naziris, male or female, a woman can be a Nazira. When a male or female declare Naziris, the Torah says in Source 14, Ish o Isha ki yafli lindor neder. Yafli, it's a pella. A Nazir is a wondrous thing. What's so wondrous about being a Nazir? So you grow your hair and you don't drink wine. What's so wondrous? What's so wondrous about a Nazir? The answer is because the Nazir is choosing to distance himself or herself from the pleasures of the world. And most people don't choose that. That's a wondrous thing. That the Nazir, says the Ibn Ezra, it's a davar pella, he says in Source 15, ki rov ha'olam holchim acher tavasam. Because most people just do whatever they're in the mood to do. It's a chiddush when a person is able to choose differently. And that's what we're working on this week of Yesod. Tonight is Yesod should be Yesod. To try to solidify who we are as people. That's part of our preparation for Kabbalah Sator. Okay, let's go to the final source. Turn to the last source on the page. Source 18. In the writings of the Skolya Rebbe Zatzal, he explains something. It's really built off of a piece of Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe of Moshe Teilobaum, in Source 17, I'll just tell you outside, pointed out a very interesting scientific reality. The direction of the heavenly rotation is the opposite direction of the sun's individual rotation. In other words, the sun is basically trying to go up against the whole world. And as the sun is pushing in one direction, the world is pushing in the other direction. And yet the sun is able to complete, so to speak, one revolution against the world, to be able to push back. That's a wondrous thing to think about, how the sun is taking on the rotations of the heavens. There's a lot for us to learn from that and to think about it. It connects it to various midrashim. But I wanted to show one point, share with you one final point from the Skolya Rebbe. The Skolya Rebbe said, if the courage of the sun is its ability to, again, to challenge the norm, to swim upstream, to go in the opposite direction, says the Skolya Rebbe in his Sefer of Drashos Vayavarech David, Uvezeh yish levar ha-medrash. The Medrash says that the heel of Adam HaRishon, cryptic Medrash, Adam HaRishon was so big, he was so tall, he was so dominant, that the heel of Adam HaRishon, the heel of Adam Rishon was so big that it diminished the light of the sun. It blocked out the light of the sun. Adam Rishon was so ginormous that he blocked out his heel alone, forget his whole body, his whole structure. His heel alone blocked out the light of the sun. What's the Medrash telling us? It says the Skolya Rebbe, Shalom Baha Medrash Lashmi Anu Kama Yafai Adam Rishon. It's not telling us about the physical structure and it was on the region literally that big, it's hard to imagine. Ela shahaya bal madrega gadola. Oh, the Marishon was bigger than the sun. He was so much bigger than the sun. And yes, Adam Rishon messed up. He made a bad choice. We know the bad choice that Adam made in Gan Eden. But Adam Rishon, an Adam, a human being, has the ability to choose to go against what? To go against the world in a way that's even more courageous than the sun. The sun is also fighting to move in the opposite direction. Adam Rishon has the ability, what? As human beings with Bechira, we have the ability to be even bigger than the sun, to go even more against the tide. And the reason I'm so excited to share this piece with you is because the ache of the heel of Adam Rishon, if you look at Adam Rishon as all of history, the ache of the heel, that's us. The last part of Adam Rishon, the lowest part of Adam, the ikvus of the Mashiach, as all the tzaddikim refer to our time period. The heel, the final steps before Mashiach comes, that's what we're living in right now. We have the opportunity, more than ever in history, to try as Jews to be different than the world. To still hold to Jewish values and to not cause that beautiful Yashar Kel, that stream of smoke that wants to just go straight up from Mizbeach, that central point of the Beis HaMikdash, to go straight to Avinu Sheva Shemayim. To not be swayed by the Ruach HaZman. That the Basar Kodesh, which we are, shouldn't be spoiled, shouldn't be damaged or ruined by the world. Us, the Ekev of Adam Rishon, we have the opportunity to do that. It's a miraculous thing to be able to do it. But it's possible. We've seen that it happened. And Amir Tashem will be able to do it. So as Rav Chaim Brisker used to tell his Talmud, Rav Baruch Ber, Tracht Andrish. He used to challenge him to think differently. Rav Chaim Brisker certainly made a whole new Derech HaLimud when it came to studying the Gemara in Lamdis, revolutionized the way the Lithuanian yeshivas learned. And his Talmud, Rav Baruch Ber of Kamenetz, also was a tremendous Baal Mechadesh. Right? But it's marching orders for life. Have the courage to think differently. Think like a Jew. Think different than the way that most of the world thinks. Be a Nazir. Be like Yosef HaTzadik. The week of Yesod. Tonight Yesod should be Yesod. Have the willingness and the courage to have the Azus to Kedusha to take on the world. And then Amir Tzah Hashem will continue to offer such beautiful, sweet karbanos, a reach nichoach, to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Thank you all so much for coming and have a wonderful Shabbos. Davin Marv, I hope we have a minion or close to it.